This is CICK News. On Sunday, August 10th in Terrace, a group of about 50 people gathered on Memorial Trail to begin a march for justice.
What are we here for?
Justice for Seb!
Sebastian Moore was 17 when he was killed by another 17-year-old in November of 2023. After a painful wait of 17 months where Sebastian's family was not allowed to speak publicly about the death of Sebastian, Crown Counsel informed the family that the person who stabbed Sebastian was acquitted of any charges and acted in self-defense. The Moore family was rocked by this news, and since April when they received word from Crown on the charges, they've been organized and outspoken as to what they believe is an injustice against the memory of their boy, Sebastian. I walked with Sebastian's grandmother, mother, sister, grandfather, and many others who loved him on the anniversary of his birthday, August 10th, through the streets of Terrace.
My name is Charlene Moore. I'm Sebastian Moore's auntie. His mother is my sister. Wolf from the Kitsilis Nation. Today would have been Sebastian's 19th birthday. It's been a difficult journey. Seeing everybody else grow up and go through all the milestones that he should have been able to go through. And it just makes that much more painful because he has no justice for his murder.
Mm-hmm. Charlene, was there a significance to the route that we took, or was it kind of for as many eyes as possible?
Well, it's the center of the two sister nations, Kitsimkalem and Kitsilis, but mainly we wanted to walk past the RCMP detachment, just to make as much of an impact as we can, try to be seen as much as possible, because as we continue to take the petition around, there's still so many people from Terrace that have not heard of this case and are not aware of what's the injustice that has been happening.
Can you kind of explain the intent of the petition?
To appeal the decision and getting support from the political entities as much as we can, and basically raising awareness for the injustice that's taken place, not just for our family, but that this is happening everywhere in BC, especially because Crown Council is the one who ultimately makes the decision. Even though the RCMP wish to press charges, they can't. It's up to the Crown Council, and we feel that they have acted hastily and have not looked at everything that's contained in the investigation.
Okay, my name is Rick Moore. I'm originally from the Nass River. I met who is the grandmother of my grandkids when I was very young, and we started a family at 18, and my oldest daughter's name is Leslie. Leslie is the mother of the young fella that we lost.
We just walked part of the Memorial Trail here, and today is Sebastian's birthday. So can you talk a little bit about how that felt?
Normally, because of the recent recent medical condition, I suffered some seizures. I've been recently diagnosed as epileptic. My epilepsy was triggered, trauma induced. The support we've been getting from our family and from people that are not family has been overwhelming. I know that Seb had many, many friends that looked after him because he was he would defend anybody that was younger than him that was bullied. So he was an anti-bully. And this is what makes it so hard for us to deal with what we're going through, is because he was such a genuine person. We all make mistakes, but we don't deserve to be killed to make a mistake. And this is exactly what happened to him. He made a mistake, and it was the severity of the actions against him it was too much. My grandson was such a wonderful boy. He had a heart of gold. He would not hurt an animal. He would not hurt anything. The night that this happened to him, he was drinking, and they say that the other person acted in self-defense. Who defends themselves with two knives? I feel like they protect the wrong people. it's given me a whole new perspective of the RCMP and what their agenda is. And I hate to say it, but I don't think it's genuine or beneficial for First Nations.
The RCMP was not present at the march, which culminated at the pavilion in George Little Park. Gladys Raddick, spokesperson for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Girls and Boys, spoke last after Kitsilis Chief Counselor Glenn Bennett and family members talked about their experience.
We need to really, really think about what we really, really want, and we need to unite and work together as a people and start confronting these government officials. I don't see the mayor here. I don't see any of our representatives here, and yet we're the ones that voted them in. We need justice. We need justice for Seb and thousands of other men and boys in this country and all the women and girls that are going missing. This is a genocide against our people. We have to stand up. We have to stand up and we have to face them and we have to tell them that it's got to stop. Writing your MLAs, confronting them, that's the only way we can do it.
Hazelton, BC held their Pioneer Days parade this past weekend to celebrate the community's pioneer heritage. The settler village, which is on Gitxsan territory, was named Hazelton in 1859 by Thomas Hankin for the numerous hazelnut bushes in the vicinity. But in the 1840s, a Hudson Bay Company chief trader arrived on an expedition from Babine Lake, and settler contact, and shortly thereafter, pioneer way of life had arrived. Pioneer Days includes street vendors, live music, carriage rides, beach volleyball, and this year was no different, even with the rain. And during my trip, I met with a local legend.
Hello, my name is Bruce Floyd Johnson.
I'm his wife, Stacy Johnson.
Can you describe your outfits, and are these your only or your favorite outfits?
Our favoritest, they're professionally made. Measured twice before ordering online.
And it's so you've got red and gold on yours. I love this. So how long have you been Gitxsan Elvis?
Not very long. This just started off as something for fun. Started off with just some cheap little Halloween costume. And it turned into something a little more. People kept asking for it. So my wife went out and ordered a couple of suits for us to use. So that's how it started.
Well, they kept getting more extravagant because we were called for birthdays, anniversaries, and then the events got bigger to community halls. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get Floyd a professionally made suit. Yeah. And then a few months later, I'm like, I want one.
So you're fundraising today?
Yes.
Okay, what is your fundraiser?
We're fundraising to go to Graceland, and we're leaving August 29th with a visit to his head nurse in Prince George first, and then we'll travel after that.
Yeah.
Floyd is stage 5 kidney disease, and this is our bucket list. And we had a really good friend who started us off fundraising for us, and I was like, wow. It's really happening.
Yeah.
So we have a loony auction down the end of the street.
We've been doing other fundraisers for this for quite some time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like she said, there's a... It's called the end stage for kidney failure, stage 5, which is... that's been going on for a little while now.
Yeah.
So sometimes Elvis gets a little bit tired.
Yeah.
And I'd like to give a big shout out to Melanie Angus. Thank you, Mel.
Aww. That's so sweet. Thank you for sharing that with me. So what's your favorite Elvis song?
Honestly, I don't have a favorite.
Just too many?
Yeah. Don't Be Cruel.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah.
Little Sister, Don't You Do What
Do Big Sister Does.
I just told.
And how about you? What's your favorite Elvis song?
CC Rider and Mean Woman Blues.
Oh, he had it right up there on the top of his head. Thank you both very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
In Hazleton this past week and weekend, Rachel Jans held a hide tanning workshop at the Learning Center on Omnica Street in Old Hazleton. Rachel is from Gitxsan Territory, but lives in Saskatchewan now. Her father is celebrated Gitxsan carver Phil Jans, and so art, historically informed practices, and beauty are in her blood. During the Pioneer Days parade in Hazleton on the last day of her workshop, I stopped in during a show-and-tell portion of her class. When I arrived, Louise, a student of hers, was showing off her sockeye hide that she had worked on during the week.
What we do at first, we started to do the front to take all the, what do you call that,
scales.
You know, you have, and brush all the, like there's still some meat left on there.
I used to scrape.
A big spoon. But you're gentle with it.
Okay.
But I've never seen the skin so strong in my life. And now I know why they survive in the water.
This was a big thing in like ancient.
And I kept with the spoon. You gotta hold it like that. See, there's still more. I know there is.
Tell her what it tasted like.
I don't know. It tastes very funny. Very funny, but kind of hot and cold. You know, I was going like this. You get dried out the mouth.
So that is how they used to test the tannin to see how strong it was. Because is the more it dried your mouth out, the stronger the tannin was.
Okay. Rachel has studied with a variety of hide tanning teachers and is relatively new to the practice. But after accepting the challenge to teach a 13-week graduate-level course at First Nations University of Canada, focusing on bark tanning methods, she has now tanned animal hides from elk and bison all the way to mice and other little creatures.
Is this a little lamb?
That's a baby goat.
A baby goat.
Sometimes when they're born at the wrong time of year, especially I've been living out in the prairies, they freeze to death. And so the ranchers call me and I come and pick them up and then I skin them and they make beautiful leather. So there's like four main different types of natural tanning. One is using plant tannins with barks and leaves and roots.
Oh my gosh, that smells so good.
Doesn't it? Yeah. So real leather, that's where it gets its smell from, is the plants that it's tanned with.
Tannins are the medicine or biomolecules found in plants. They're what heals a tree if it's been damaged and are known for their ability to bind with proteins or other organic compounds. They naturally occur and are an astringent, which creates a puckering sensation in your mouth, and the tannin's natural extract from bark or leaves, such as in this case, transform animal hides into usable leather.
Most of the leather we have today is not tanned like this. It's tanned using chrome or chromium, which is like really harmful to the environment. They started using that process during the Industrial Revolution, and it was to keep up with the demand for leather. Whereas if you look at the old school leather like this, that's all naturally done. They're finding samples that have survived over 1,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah. They call it a living leather because it changes as it ages. I've got poplar here, which I boiled from the bark. Okay. And also some from leaves. And then this one is spruce. This is horse chestnuts, which I've never worked with before, but they're really quite high in tannins. This is willow leaves, and this is willow bark. And this is a commercial tannin that we'll do that fish skin in.
Okay.
But mostly I've been working with commercial tannins up to now. So being able to come home and work with the plants here, I'm able to start going right to the source. So it's like you can have leathers that are more made out of plant than they are of animal. It's like this incredible science that our ancestors knew about. And you kind of wonder what it was, how they discovered this and how they explored this. This type of tanning, natural tanning, is something that happens all over the world. This week there was some people who were interested, especially when we did the fish leather on Tuesday. It's like, fish leather? We can make leather from fish?
So because this is audio, can you explain what you're doing and what I'm looking at?
So this is a completely rinsed sockeye hide. We took all the meat and fat off the back, and then we cleaned up the back, and then we did a bunch of rinsing on it. And so now what I'm doing is just squeeze some of the water out of it. So I'm just putting this hide into the tannin, and I'm just like draping it into this jar, pulling it up and down, and I'm going to fully submerge it in there. And throughout the course of the up to 10 days, I will check it, and I will do what Louise was doing, is scrape the back of the hide, just to open it up and stretch it, release some of the membrane that wants to come off. Mm-hmm. And it just allows the tannins to get thoroughly into the skin.
And 10 days is about, like, is about typical for...
It really depends on the tannin and the hide. Like, if I'm tanning a moose hide, that could take months.
Rachel was also smoke tanning a hide and showed me a deer hide that she was preparing that was kept in a large Ziploc bag.
So it's just a chunk of deer, but this has actually been put in an oil emulsion, which is a totally different type of tan. And it's you know, to make buckskin. Mm-hmm. And it makes a totally different kind of leather. And it's really what you're doing with this one. It's not a chemical change to the hide. It's a physical change to the hide, where you're surrounding the protein molecules with oil so that they can slide past each other, basically. And it keeps it soft and supple.
Yeah.
This type of leather is, in many ways, a lot more labor intensive. This is probably the oldest kind of leather that we have record of. And it's like... back to the Paleolithic times, right? So 400,000 years ago, people were making this kind of leather.
What oil?
This one, I think I used olive oil.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, feel free to stretch it. You'll see that it's like...
Oh, whoa, that's like really... It's very eager to stretch. Do you find that... Is that like an upswing in interest for tanning? Like young people who want to like maybe start homesteading or anything like that?
I've had many, many teachers. I think... You know, it is a very community-driven activity. It's been a little over a year since I've been really hardcore doing this. But all the time, I'm finding more and more people who are engaged with this. I've set up at a few different events here this summer, and the kids are just so into it. Out in Kimuka with some high tanner friends of mine and teachers, we were working with the kids, and it was like they were lined up for a carnival. They were like, they all wanted to work on a hide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I think about my teachers, one of my biggest teachers has been the hides themselves, the plants themselves. That's one thing I really like about high tanning. Is this is, you know, it's something that crosses all cultures.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to connect people and have people work together and, you know, celebrate all cultural histories.
Thank you to artist and educator Rachel Jans for bringing this ancestral practice to the community of Hazelton on Gitxsan territory, and to Brenda Barrett for making the learning shop an available and welcoming space to the public. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.